from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That was the voice of Alex Van Pelt. This is WEEI Afternoons. I'm Art Can. That's Andy Hart. We're with you here until not 6 o'clock today. We're getting out a little early for Red Sox baseball. They're in Detroit, taking on the Tigers, Tanner Houck on the mound, etc. We'll get to all that. But that was Alex Van Pelt, and that was from about a week ago, I want to say, maybe like 4 or 5 days ago, earlier on in the week or maybe last week.
Last week, yeah.
And it was him talking about the quarterback being the hardest position to play in sports and the merits of starting a rookie versus going with the veteran. Now, we've sort of known all along, based on what Gerard Mayo said, that the decision, and most offensive decisions, are going to be on Alex Van Pelt and his brain trust, which is McAdoo and, you know, the rest of those guys there on the coaching staff. Hearing him say that now and talking about how QB is the hardest position in sports, I just happened to find that quote when I was going through some sound, and it had me wondering, and I know you think this is a stupid question, Andy, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What if Brissett goes out there and plays? He's not very good. They go to Drake May. He comes in, and he's not any better. If that's the case, and I know you don't think that's possible, I think it is, first of all. I think it's possible that if you put Drake May out there with this offense, that it's not really going to matter if it's him, if it's Mac Jones, if it's Bailey Zappe, if it's Jacoby Brissett. It's just going to be one big bag of suck no matter who the quarterback is. I think that there's a possibility that you could see that this year. I'm not putting money on it. I'm just saying I think it's possible. If that's the case, if Drake May comes in and the product that we're watching on the field isn't particularly better or noticeably better than it was with Jacoby Brissett, isn't that just as damaging as putting him out there to start the year and having him go through the ups and downs of a rookie in the NFL? You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't that be equally damaging to see, oh, well, all right, here comes the savior. Here comes Drake May. He's going to come in here and show us how it's done and show you what a rookie, a good quarterback, supposed to look like, and he can't do it. Isn't that, would that be equally damaging or even more damaging?
Now you're on my side of the street.
Right.
Hashtag play Drake. Like, yes, if he stinks then, he stinks now, he stinks next year. He's going to stink. Find out if he stinks. I don't think they think he stinks, and I also don't think they think he's necessarily breakable, the term that everybody wants to use. You're going to break him somehow. I wish there was a study on that, just like these guys that supposedly broke. Did they, you know, the Jake Lockers and the whoever you want to put, first-round picks.
Jake Locker was a redshirt, right? Like, he didn't play at all his rookie year.
So did they break him? Or did he suck?
I mean, he wasn't good after that.
Right.
And who was he? Was he behind McNair?
I don't think so.
No, he was
that
behind
much later.
Matt Hasselbeck.
I think McNair was dead by then.
I think he probably was. Anyway, that was Matt Hasselbeck, 2011. I forget when that happened with McNair. But he also went to the Ravens afterwards anyway, so he wasn't even with the Titans probably at that time, if he was still with us. But
I don't think he was. We should probably move on. Let's go ahead.
Veteran Matt Hasselbeck, who went 9-7 that year, did not have a good year, 3,571 yards, 18 touchdowns, 14 picks, and Jake Locker, I think, got into 5 games, didn't start any games, and then ended up being one of the worst QBs in Titans history for the next 2 years after
that. Did he not get in because they didn't want to break him, or did he not get in because they realized he's not very good?
Probably that.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes redshirted, too.
I don't want to hear any of the teams that have good quarterbacks.
Okay, but I'm just saying, in terms of not starting somebody their rookie year, not giving them any starts,
if they had started him,
there's a wide spectrum between Jake Locker and Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, so if they had started Patrick Mahomes' rookie year, you think they would have broken him?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I think they heard Jones say this a bunch. I think they could have won another Super Bowl.
So the timing is irrelevant.
Yes.
The situation is irrelevant. What is relevant is, did you pick the right guy? Is he a dude, as people like to say in this world? Is he him? Because if he's not him and you wait to year two, you know what he's going to do? Suck. And if he is him and you put him in too soon, you know what he's going to do? Succeed. It's about the makeup of the player and your read on him. So that's the one thing I would say. If you want to be a real cynical fan, because we get people on the text line that are really anti-Drake May. There were a bunch of them yesterday that I was reading that he sucks. You'll be picking a new quarterback in 2 years, the whole thing. And you may be right.
That's a good impression of what I think the text line sounds like. Yeah.
And you may be right, but I don't think that has anything to do with playing time. And if I were you, if I were a hater, I'm going to call those people haters because I feel like you're haters. If I were a hater and I saw the Patriots not starting Drake May right now, I would take that as a, I'm right. They're already worried. Like, I think you can read it because I think most of these people that stunk, it wasn't the timing that made them stink. It was their ability.
Right.
Their makeup. Mental and physical. We've talked a lot about that because I do think those are two factors in the development. But it's not about the timing in my mind. It's about, are you the right one or the wrong one?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes was always going to be right. Right?
Sure.
Peyton Manning was always going to be right.
But he was also playing behind a Pro Bowler, and that team was good at the time. So it's not like the Chiefs were some bottom-feeding team.
He would have shown you, just like Joe Burrow showed you and Peyton Manning showed you.
I think the environment does matter.
You think Ryan Leaf would have been good if he had waited a year?
No, not really.
Okay.
I don't think, but Ryan Leaf was a whole different thing. But like,
No. He's the whole thing. The whole package of him was going to fail. Johnny Manziel, the whole package was going to fail, right?
What about Mac Jones?
What about him?
Well, Mac Jones was successful his rookie year and then failed when a bunch of decisions got made.
You handled him a certain way. I think he was going to break no matter what. You know what I think the
benefit? All right, what about Tua then?
What about him?
Tua, start of the year, he got benched. It looked like he was broken, and now he's one of the – every year he has a million yards.
He won games as a rookie.
Yeah, he did, but he showed that he
could get benched. He wasn't a disaster. Well, that's because their coach hated him or whatever the hell was going on between Brian Flores and Tua.
Sure, but I think after that rookie year, people were looking at Tua like, this guy could end up being the next Josh Rosen or something.
Okay, so that's
like
another good point. You thought he was broken. Is he broken?
No.
He just got paid $212 million.
Right, because of the environment. If he stayed with Brian Flores, I think he would have been broken. I don't think he would have had this miraculous comeback.
Oh.
That was because of his environment.
That I agree with.
Yes.
If you play Drake May this year and then next year say, by the way, Drake, we didn't draft anybody and we didn't sign anybody. Roll it back out there with Vedarian Lowe and Demario Douglas as your number one. Do I think eventually Drake May might snap and break and not be good?
And by the way, Dante Hightower is going to be your offensive coordinator.
Right,
What do you think about that?
But I'm just saying, like, they put together an NFL team this year.
Yeah.
Not a good one. But they have an NFL team. There's an offensive coach coaching offense.
We'll
There's receivers. And right? And they're going to try to get better next year. If they don't do anything to attempt to get better, do I think eventually Drake May could lose his mind and not be good? All of that. Yes. Because you have to invest. Like, obviously, Peyton Manning had... Did he have Marshall? Yeah, he had Marshall Faulk, right, early in the...
I believe he did. Yep, that sounds right.
And then he gets Marvin Harrison, and he gets Reggie Wayne, and he makes the best out of the tight ends, the whole thing. He had talent around him. Don't tell me he didn't have talent around him.
The Colts were bad, though. I mean, they were bad before they got him.
Yeah, that's why he was the number one pick.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's not like they had some good team
and they
dropped
him. But
they got talent around him. Mahomes came to a team that was a playoff team.
My point is, if they drafted Peyton Manning and didn't draft any talent around him, didn't have any good players around him, would he have been as good? No, he wouldn't have been as good. But put Drake May in and then start the process of putting talent around him.
Harrison was already on the team. Faulk was already on the team. And then after that, it was not great. Jerome Paython, Torrance Small, Ken Dilger, Marcus Pollard was the tight end. Like, they didn't have a lot after that. But yeah.
I think it's people try to make it about more than it is. Mm. I agree with Alex Van Pelt. Toughest position in all of sports, which is why the hardest part, in my opinion, happened already. You picked him.
Yep.
Now, you might be wrong. The hardest part might be coming again in 2 years when you try to pick another one. But
or next year when you pick Shedeur Sanders.
We're not doing that.
Why not?
Because I don't want him.
How do you know?
I know I don't want him.
How do you know they're not doing it, though?
You think there's a shot in Hades?
I mean, if May is really bad, like if he ends up playing and it looks like he's totally overwhelmed. Yeah.
Pull the plug right away, trade May for a fourth-round pick.
The Cardinals, if they had stuck with Josh Rosen, I mean, listen, they're not in great shape right now, but that was the right move to do what they did.
Oh, sure.
To move on from Rosen and draft Kyler Murray. I mean, that ended up being the right move. Even
now they have the most overrated quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion.
It's better than having the worst quarterback in the NFL, which is what Rosen probably would have been.
Is it now?
I think it is. I definitely think
I think having a $200 million bad quarterback is actually worse than having a crappy quarterback you can just easily, quickly move on from.
Well, maybe you're right. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jackson Burns, first of all, is going to tell you what's trending. And Brandon Ayuk staying in San Francisco despite their very high taxes, Bill Belichick. We'll get into that and another ESPN list of all the X factors in the league. We'll get to all that right after Jackson.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Tells you what's trending. Scott Van Pelt last night announcing the Brandon Ayuk news. Ayuk will stay in San Francisco, at least for the time being. Could always trade him, I guess. But after a bunch of months now, I guess, you know, 3-4 months of very, seemed like tense negotiations, trade talks with other teams, Patriots were involved, who else was involved, the Broncos, I think, were involved, the
Browns.
Steelers, the Browns, all these teams trying to get a little slice of Brandon Ayuk, and it seemed like he was maybe using them for leverage, it seemed like maybe he was ready to move on from San Francisco and go play somewhere else, but this fifth-year wide receiver agreed to a 4-year deal last night, worth up to $120 million with $76 million guaranteed. And there's going to be some big ramifications from this in San Francisco and all throughout the league, I think. This is going to affect the market of other wide receivers. It's going to affect the market for Deebo Samuel, you know, like seeing what they do there and how they try and keep that offense together. Some of the teams that he spurned. I think if you look at a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, a team that is trying to put an offense around either one of their two quarterbacks. It's going to be Russell Wilson to start off right now. But he would have been a big, big fixture there to go along with George Pickens and the rest of that offense. Instead, he is staying in San Francisco, and it's going to be interesting to see what that offense looks like. We already know they're good. Is this going to be something that is sustainable going forward? And what does this mean for the rest of the league? First of all, your initial reaction to Brandon Ayuk kind of tucking tail and taking the deal that is basically offered to him 3 months ago.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the thing that jumped out was the way Adam Schefter worded the tweet and like six times told you in 140 characters that this is the deal that's been on the table all along. Felt like he was carrying the water for John Lynch and company. Like, we didn't do anything. We didn't change anything. Mm-hmm. He just caved and he took the deal because he wanted to be here kind of thing.
We're badass.
Yeah, which...
We stood on business.
And that tweet right there from Schefter about the Niners is exactly why they get scoops. Because when we want you to carry our water, we're going to send you the words we want you to use and you'll use them. And they know that. That's why we found out through Adam Schefter that Jacoby Brissett was starting for the Patriots, because that's how business is done these days. In terms of the money, you know, it's sort of what the cost of doing business with those. He came in below the truly elite receivers, but he got paid a boatload because receivers like quarterbacks. They've been sort of attached for a while now,
mm-hmm.
and people couldn't believe where the receiver numbers are going, and it's like, why? The quarterback numbers are going there. They're just following the leader. You know, the numbers are growing because the cap is growing. But the connection to the quarterbacks is sort of similar to what it's been. And you were right about the one thing. So there were three.
I was right about one thing.
It's rare, so I want to point it out when it happens.
Very nice.
We've been doing the show for a full 3.5 days together.
Mm-hmm. I've been right about more than one thing, I think, time. I think so. I don't remember what it was. But
yeah, I don't either.
Was,
so we'll move on. But they didn't move this offseason so far. The one that's left is Ja'Marr Chase, right?
Yep.
But you had CeeDee Lamb. He gets his contract. You had Brandon Ayuk. He gets his contract. So we'll see what happens to Ja'Marr Chase. So my plan is very much hingent upon, the word I like to make up and use all the time, is hingent upon you trading for an elite wide receiver, probably T. Higgins. In my plan, you say, okay, they give Ja'Marr Chase his $135 million, put him up somewhere near Justin Jefferson, right?
Yep.
And then T. Higgins is just, you can't have both kind of thing. So he's expendable, and you try to trade with the Patriots or somebody else there. So But that's the cost of doing business. I want one of those. Don't you want one of those?
Absolutely.
I don't want to play the side of Rich Keefe here, who's like the wee wide receiver guy. Like, he loved everybody. He thought Josh Gordon was a top 10 wide receiver when he came back to New England. It's like, the guy's toast. He's absolute toast. I want one of those. They're entering their fifth year kind of receiver, and they are going to get you 1,800 yards, and I'm going to pair you up with Drake May, and you can make stupid money right now because he doesn't make stupid money yet, and the left tackle I'm going to draft doesn't make stupid money yet. That's the Andy Hart plan. You need to get on board with the Andy Hart plan.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
You mentioned T. Higgins. I think this is great news for T. Higgins. Honestly, I do. I think he got franchised, right? He's franchised for this year at around $22 million. And with a deal like this going to Brandon Ayuk, Higgins, they're not going to want to let him walk. They're not going to want to let – you're right. Like, wide receivers don't often hit the market anymore. These teams are doing whatever they can to ensure that they're not letting their guys just walk out the door and go sign somewhere else.
Well, like, don't you think teams have – I think at one point teams felt like – you got to have one number one receiver.
Yeah.
And now it feels like they've accepted, well, modern business, really, you have two. Like Hill and Waddle in Miami, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith in Philadelphia, Debo and Ayuk in San Francisco. If they do it, Chase and Higgins in Cincinnati. Kind of seems like Super Bowl contenders in this day and age have two really, really, really highly paid wide receivers, right?
Yeah.
Like the ones that kind of bucked it was... The Chiefs decided we're not going to do it. We have Kelsey. We're going to let Hill go. We're not going to break the bank. Mm-hmm. And they might be able to get away with it because they might have the Brady-like Band-Aid you can do whatever you want and he'll fix it.
100% have the Brady-like
right?
Band-Aid.
You know what I mean? And that's why Bill was able to get away with some of his moves for a long time. But that's what the eye-opening problem is. We lust after one number one receiver, right? Oh, we'd kill to have one.
Sure.
And when we have one, we're still going to be behind the times because everybody else has two.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
We're that far behind.
I do think that's one of those things with the rising tide kind of lifts all boats. If you have that number one receiver, then all of a sudden that's a lot less attention being paid to Pop Douglas or to Jalen Polk or to one of these other guys.
And maybe they are a high-end guy.
And they emerge and become that. Like T. Higgins, I don't think out of college was expected to be this high-end guy. Him and Jamar Chase together, all of a sudden now he's talked about in that way. I think Ayuk maybe in a lesser sense because, you know, Samuel was there already and then he kind of came in and put up these big numbers. And listen, I mean, Ayuk was a good prospect coming out of Arizona State, but I don't think people expected him to be what he is now. I think he developed into that.
You sold me on the Andy Hart plan. You didn't know you were selling me on the Andy Hart plan, but
I like the Andy Hart plan.
If you get the number one receiver, we're going to look at, let's just use a name, Jalen Polk, differently. Mm-hmm. Jalen Polk will become your T. Higgins, where everybody's like, I'm not sure he's a true number one, but he looks really good when he plays with
this guy.
T. Higgins, or whoever the real number one is. Because isn't that what we said about Ayuk? I don't know if Ayuk's a true number one.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Because he plays with Debo and Kittle and McCaffrey and the rest of that really good
Absolutely.
Offense.
Absolutely, doesn't it? You can't pay that much attention to him because someone else is going to be open and they're all playmakers. You're right about that. I mean, that's what a good offense, a very good offense, looks like.
Wasn't
enough to beat the Chiefs, but that's what it looks like.
Would Devontae Adams be in, is he on the wrong side of the ledger for Drake May's timeline? Would you be in consideration for him?
I'd bring him here a cocaine heartbeat.
Next spring?
Yes, definitely.
And he wants a new contract?
Sure.
Really? You're
Definitely. I love Devontae Adams. I think he's tremendous.
I just wonder if he's a little older than I'd prefer for the timeline of the Andy Hart plan.
He is, but that's veteran. You know, he's a veteran leader. He's a guy who I think will be able to go out and be productive. Yes.
Because all I saw was this place sucks. Get me the F out of here before it effing kills me.
It's because he hated the coach. But everybody on that team hated the coach. Right?
So he's going to go to the place that bred that coach.
I mean, well, maybe. It could be onto something there. It does seem like Gerard Mayo, for all of his faults, the players seem to like him maybe a little bit more than the Raiders like Josh McDaniels. I think that's fair to say. Like that's
Judon,
you know,
like him?
Judon maybe not, but I don't think Judon necessarily blamed him for everything that went down. I think he went over and lit him up and everything. But everybody else got paid, right? Like everybody else has been paid. Everybody else, I think, feels sort of good about their lot in life right now. And they look at Gerard Mayo. He's a player's coach. He doesn't make him get up early. He's not in their face, you know, screaming at him all the time. He's a lighter, sort of kinder, gentler head coach than maybe some of them are used to, those who were here in the Belichick era. And I think that on some level does matter in a way when it comes to these free agents and potential trade targets.
I'm glad you brought that up, Gerard Mayo's style, because we had the caller earlier that, like, he's a good coach, he'll be fine. And we were like, we don't know if he's a good coach. He hasn't done anything. Doesn't he seem like he has a little bit more of a willingness to call guys out publicly?
Mayo?
Yeah.
More than Bill did?
Oh, certainly more than Bill did, but I mean even more than maybe the average coach. Like, He called out Jacoby Brissett for how poorly thrown that interception was and how bad that was. He kind of called the guys out pretty good for the penalties and the lining up, which, I mean, I guess you kind of have to there. They're probably not avoiding that. But I just wonder.
Like more than the average coach in the NFL?
Yeah, a little more Bruce Cassidy to him than we're used to. Maybe. Certainly than we're used to in these parts because Bill virtually never did it.
No, it was rare to hear that. I'm sure he tore him a new one in the behind closed doors, but not out in public.
I think Gerard Mayo might be a guy that is going to acknowledge individual errors and mistakes and problems more than we're used to. And it could be entertaining from our perspective.
Yeah, it certainly
I don't know if
could.
Players are like it. I don't know if that's a player's coach kind of thing, but he bristles at that. He doesn't want to be a player's coach. He wants to be a good coach.
Yep, and we'll see if he actually is one or not. And I also think that, you know, there's going to be some tough games. There's going to be some tough weeks, and there's going to be some tough press conferences. If he does that, it's going to look like he's just putting everything on his players and not taking any accountability for it, and I think that's something he'll get beat up for. So.
I think he'll also need to be careful that if the team is constructed the way most people believe, he could be pointing the finger at offensive players a lot and not defensive players.
People I can see
like,
that.
Oh, he's protecting his defensive 100%. Guys. Well, part of it might be his defensive guys might be playing better because they're better. They're better players.
Pretty
right?
obvious what's going to happen.
But isn't it going to look like the defensive coach is kind of hard on the offensive guys that are making mistakes?
Yeah.
Even though it might be warranted, but I just think all of these things are
tough
issues.
Being a coach, you know? You got to rip everyone equally.
Both jobs kind of suck, coach and quarterback. There's no, unless you succeed at the level that Belichick and Brady did, which is a level that was never seen before and will never be seen again.
Except if you look in Kansas City, where Reed and Mahomes are doing a pretty good job.
Kind of happening right now.
Yeah. Like, every little thing you do is a screw-up. Almost everything. Like, you go back to Brady. We hope you're all lubed up in time for the game. And then you go, I meant water, and I regret saying that. Like, you got to apologize for everything. It's so serious.
Yeah.
Why so serious,
I don't know.
Joker says?
Good question. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get to your calls in just a moment, but I wanted to read from this ESPN list. Ben Solak, not related to Zolak. It's with an S, but it's S-O-L-A-K. Not familiar with his work, but...
S-O-L.
Right. He wrote a list here of NFL X factors for the 2024 season, key players for all 32 teams. Now... I was looking at the other teams in the AFC East just to give you an idea what this list is like.
Okay.
For the Buffalo Bills, they say that Dalton Kincaid's going to be a big X factor because they lost all their good receivers. Davis and Diggs both left. This is going to be the big target here for Josh Allen, and you know he'll be an X factor.
I would have gone Shakir.
Shakir, I mean, that could have been one too, I think. For the Dolphins, it's going to be every defensive tackle, Benito Jones, Zach Seiler, Jonathan Harris, Deshaun Hand, etc. Since Christian Wilkins left and went to the Raiders, these guys are all going to have to step up and try and fill in what he did. For the Jets, Hassan Reddick, which, interesting, considering the situation there with him. And then for the Patriots, I thought, okay, well, it must be one of these playmakers, maybe one of the rookie wide receivers, maybe, you know, one of the guys on the defensive side. Who's going to be an X factor? Who's really someone that could surprise people? And
could be a pass rusher post-Judon.
Sure, something like
Keon
that.
Keon White.
According to ESPN and not Scott Zolak, the Patriots X factor this year is going to be Vedarian Lowe.
I don't hate the call. Do you?
I kind of hate that. Yeah.
Well, let's just pretend.
I mean, there's nobody else.
Remember Wayne's World?
Think of could probably be there. Yeah.
Pretend Vedarian Lowe has a Pro Bowl season. Doesn't that change everything?
Well, sure.
So he's an X factor.
Well, yeah.
See, prove my point. Well done, Solak.
If a
Solak and Hart getting it done.
If a meteor hits the planet and then we all die, then I guess it doesn't matter. Am I being ridiculous? I feel like it's about equally likely as Vedarian Lowe being a Pro Bowler.
He's an NFL player who's going to start.
Is he? Is he really? Is he going to start? We sure about that?
So he has, well, no, I'm not sure. You're right. Touche. But he has a 1 in 32 chance of being a Pro Bowl left tackle. There's not a 1 in 32 chance that we're going to get hit by a meteor.
I don't know about that. I don't know what the meteor cycle's like
right now. When was the last time we got hit by a meteor? Didn't they kill dinosaurs?
That movie with Armageddon. You ever seen that one?
No, they drilled
the
a hole and broke it.
Armageddon. It's true, but then I think pieces of it ended up hitting the.
They're being very disrespectful to Vedarian Lowe. If he's a starting left tackle, he's got
a 1 in 32
chance.
Am I being disrespectful to Vedarian Lowe? Really,
I'm not
giving him
on
enough
the radio.
Respect. And listen,
give a guy a microphone. He thinks he's a tough guy. Can
I would
be
like. I'd like Vedarian Lowe to be good, sure, but does he giving you any reason to think he's going to be?
No, that's why he's an X factor.
Fine, X factors. Hassan Reddick has been good in the past. Dalton Kincaid was a decent tight end. Like these are guys that you know you look at and say, okay, they could take a leap here and be good in the future.
You didn't hear Vedarian Lowe? If they said if he learns to, like, extend his arms, he's going to be good or something.
I feel like that's something a tackle should already know how to do.
By the NFL level, by the time he's a starter in the USA. I agree.
Here is what Nat Zolak said. He said, it seems like everyone has watched the Patriots' offensive line this preseason through the gaps in their fingers. New England has strength in the interior, and Chukwuma Okorafor is passable at right tackle. But on the blind side of Brissett, the week one starter, and Drake May, the future of the franchise, is Vedarian Lowe, a sixth-round selection of the Vikings in 2022. Patriots acquired him for the same pick last August. He started eight games last season, struggled mightily, but the Patriots did not make any moves in free agency and only drafted a third-round right tackle in Caden Wallace to compete at the position. Starting left tackle job belongs to Lowe. Lowe must take a big step forward if he's going to hold on to the job. If he's struggling, the Patriots will put Wallace out there in his stead and let the young player begin to develop. And if Lowe is struggling, it'll be hard to insert May into the lineup and get the rookie quarterback the valuable reps he needs, as the coaching staff will fear an injury off the blind side. If Lowe can hold his water, the path forward for New England is immediately accelerated. Hmm. That doesn't bum you out?
Oh, yeah.
That bums me out.
Well, depends which mode I'm in. Am I in Andy Hart's plan mode? Because Andy Hart's plan involves losing a lot of games and getting the replacement for Vedarian Lowe in the top five picks of next year's draft. No, what I would have done there is the wild card, X factor, is the left tackle.
Right.
The left tackle is the fatal flaw of this football
team. Whoever it is.
Now, I kind of disagree. What did he say about Chukwuma Okorafor?
He said that he's a passable right tackle, which I'm not sure about.
You know
that,
who's passing him? The pass rushers. They run right by him to get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Is he passable? He lost his job in Pittsburgh.
Yep, to a rookie.
I'm not sure he's passable for right tackle. But the left tackle spot, if you just get competent left tackle play, and I don't mean Matt Light competent. I mean, just be, I don't know, the 27th
Trent Brown
tackle.
Competent.
But like bad Trent Brown.
Bad Trent
Not
Brown.
Good Trent Brown.
Sure, fine.
Because good
bad
Trent Brown's
Brown.
A pro bowler.
Right.
If you
Trent Brown late for a meeting because he was stuck on the giant toilet.
Yes.
That Trent Brown.
Doing
yes.
disgusting things. Things we don't speak of anymore.
Dropping bombs.
If you get just competitive left tackle play from anybody, I'm not going to say it's Vedarian Lowe. It could end up being Wallace. It could be, you know, move Mike Onwenu over there if you have to. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's Chukwuma Okorafor. Pick a guy, roll, spin the dial. Calvin Anderson. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else I've missed that could be in the mix? Caden Wallace, Calvin Anderson, Vedarian Lowe, Mike Onwenu, Chukwuma Okorafor. I feel like that's pretty much all
I think
we
that's
got.
About it. Maybe
Cole Strange when he gets healthy.
Oh, the new guy they just got, Demontre Jacobs?
Oh, yeah, there's some
the
guy.
The guy they just signed off the scrap heap from the Broncos.
Isn't there a Zach Taylor? Is he a lineman or
Zach
not?
Thomas.
Zach Thomas.
Zach Thomas. Yeah, he's a guard.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he can bump outside. He's got versatility. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Left tackle spot is the X factor for the Patriots. That will decide whether they win zero games or six.
All right. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Hi, Steve.
How are you guys?
Good, Steve. How are you?
You had Tom Curran on yesterday, and he made a point about the taking of the third pick and how he would have preferred. And I know some of you guys, I've said it. Some of you have said it. They needed volume. They needed to parlay that pick into something else. Okay.
Sure.
So they didn't. They took Drake May and they have a plan. Apparently we don't like the plan, but the problem is if they're going off of the template of what happened with Mac Jones, then they've got a problem because they didn't break him. The team around him was broke, and he couldn't work. You talked about Tua down there in Miami. Isn't he a teammate of – wasn't he a college teammate of Mac Jones?
He was, and
wasn't
Jalen Hurts.
Teammate of, wasn't – okay. You flip those guys one position and put Tua up here in New England and put Mac Jones down there in Miami. Guess what? They're going to the playoffs. Mac Jones winning the playoffs.
I agree with you. I agree with you, Steve.
And this guy won't make the season. And this guy won't make the season.
Same with Jalen Hurts. I agree with you 100%. You put Mac Jones down there in Philly with those wide receivers. I agree with you 100%.
Okay. So the problem is the Patriots looked at their problem and they misdiagnosed it. They had an organizational problem. They didn't do Mac Jones wrong. The organization was wrong. The whole setup is wrong. You don't take care of your offensive line. You needed and you needed draft picks.
Okay, but Steve, thanks for the call. We're up against the break here. Let me just say, they did do Mac Jones wrong. It's the definition of doing Mac Jones wrong. The organization did him wrong. It's what we've been saying all along here.
They also addressed the problem. They fired the organization. His name was Bill Belichick.
Yeah, it's true.
He was the organization.
Mm-hmm.
He was the head coach, the GM. They now have replaced him in every role that he filled.
Yep.
Isn't that action?
And replaced him with guys who have never done the job before.
Well, forget it. They addressed it. Yes. Just because you don't like the way they addressed it, they addressed the problem.
Absolutely.
And they also, we can all agree, they were past the point of recovery for Mac Jones. The damage was done, my friend.
Yes.
Right?
Although it seems like he's rehabbing himself in Jacksonville pretty well.
Yeah, but he couldn't do that here.
Definitely not.
And well, first of all,
I agree. If Tua was here and he got treated the same way in that second year with Patricia and everything, Tua would be back up somewhere right now, too. And same probably with Jalen Hurts. Well, I agree with that 100%.
The real example, I think, is all the rumors were Mac Jones was going 3 to the 49ers.
Right.
If he went 3 to the 49ers, I think his life looks very different right now.
100% it does. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. When we come back, we are debuting a brand new segment. Andy, you want to tell the people what's coming up?
What's coming up?
The sniff test.
Oh, the sniff test, where we are going to get our schnozzes. Well, Christian and I will, because Jackson's doesn't work.
That's true. Jackson, you can't smell anything.
No, it's broken.
It's a good thing you're not a dog.
What's the last?
Your life would be over.
What's the last thing you remember smelling?
I've never been able to smell it.
Ever in your life?
No.
You've never been able to smell
You've
a single
thing?
You've
never smelled a smell in your life?
So there's two things I can sense.
Uh-huh.
Mint. And, well, three things. Marijuana.
Yeah.
And, like, really strong ammonia.
Ammonia, mint, and marijuana.
What about, like, if somebody pooped on your upper lip?
It would not make a difference to me.
You can't smell poo?
No, I cannot
like
smell
Like, really
poo.
Bad?
No.
That's a good thing.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know.
What about a skunk?
No.
You've never smelled a skunk?
You have no idea how bad your farts even are.
No, I do not, but, I mean,
silent but deadly.
Wow.
He's like, silent, I don't know.
He
we'll
has no
out.
Idea. He could be dropping bombs back there and doesn't
well,
know.
No, and I... They're,
or
they're
your
very,
B.O.?
Well, I mean, I shower every day.
No, but you wouldn't know.
Yeah, I would have no...
Right, I shower, too, but every once in a while, you're like, oh, I sweated at Patriots practice, and then I come in here, I'm like, oh, I get a little funk going on.
I heavily rely on my fiance in the morning if I'm, like, feeling sweaty or something before I go to work.
I just thought of something else, but I won't say it.
All right, well,
leave it alone.
All of us except for Jackson will have the sniff test for you coming up next.
Uh-oh. I think it stinks.
It's the sniff test with Arcand and Hard.
That's right, it stinks!
On WEEI.
Back here on the afternoon show on WEEI, Andy Hart here alongside Christian Arcand. As you just heard, we're breaking out the sniff test.
We're sniffing it out.
Which I think, honestly, is the best way to live life. Because I think we all have really good instincts.
That's kind of mean to Jackson, I gotta say.
Well, I don't know what he does. I mean, I think we're all just dogs. And if we trust our sniffer, we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You smell your friends, you smell the women you like, you smell, you know, something weird in the backyard, smell
right.
something you want to avoid. You know when people have been there. And we are going to see if we get a segment out of this where we're just going to use the old sniff test on the sports world.
Okay.
Might be things we've heard from people, whether we, you know, believe the quotes, believe the statements, believe the sound bites. Might be stories put out by teams. Hell, we might delve into, you know, sports leagues and plans or whatever.
Sure.
The sniff test with Brad Foe's, you know, starting pitchers must go six innings.
I don't
want to
sniff Bradford.
No, I don't want to sniff Bradford. We'll leave that to Jackson. So in the inaugural.
That would be fine. I can do that. I'd be having no problem.
He's a little too excited about that, so we're just going to move on.
By the way, you've never felt fear as much as when you're drinking a glass of milk and you don't know if it's bad or not.
You have to
taste it if there's nobody else home.
Well, the thing is also, like, if you can't smell, that affects your taste too, right? Like,
it doesn't because it's a...
You don't know.
Well, that's true. I don't know. I don't have any frame of reference,
right.
But I know I like food. There's foods I like and foods I don't, so there is a difference.
But imagine how much better the foods you like might be if you were able to enjoy them.
Or maybe if you smelled them, you didn't like how they smell, you wouldn't like them.
That is the other thing.
That could be
Do you like fish?
I love fish, yeah.
Yeah, maybe you wouldn't if you smelled.
Perhaps.
So. Okay. Anyway. Well, we're going to delve more into this as you spend more time with the afternoon program.
I feel like there's a lot of opportunity here.
A lot of opportunity. But this sniff test, we're going to start where we've been doing a lot of talking. The Patriots, the quarterback situation, and Gerard Mayo. So we're just going to play you some audio, and then I want everybody in the car, everybody at home with your smart speaker, I want you to just give a little sniff and see what we think.
Really, you know, if you want to talk about the process, you know, Alex, myself, you know, we just have those conversations, but, you know, he gets input from his coaches as well, and ultimately it's my decision to make. We have decided, or I have decided, that Jacoby Brissett will be our starting quarterback this season.
Sniff it in. Okay, you got that?
Sounds like we're all doing cocaine.
Does this smell fresh? as lettuce? Is this like daisies in a field?
I'm 100% on the Wiggy train with this. I think he's saying this because he knows it wasn't his decision, and he kind of wants people to know that.
Okay.
All right.
That's one thought. I agree. It smells funny. Jackson, your sniffer works. You used Wiggies. You kind of tag team the sniffing process
yeah,
here.
Absolutely.
Good job.
I got sniff helpers.
You got sniff helpers. This does not pass the sniff test because Mr. Collaboration, mm-hmm. Mr. I don't really know offense. That's why I got an HC of the offense. And I'm going to let the experts do their thing, Elliot Wolf. Mr. Collaboration, when the decision was about to be made, suddenly shifted gears and said, ultimately, it's my decision.
Right.
We didn't make this decision. I've decided. Sorry, that is rotten. That's a skunk. That is lobster that's been sitting out in a studio for way too many hours, but Rich Keefe still ate it anyway.
Sure did.
And the reality is, Gerard Mayo should have steered into collaboration. He had, should have steered into the idea this was a we decision, because it should be a we decision. Elliot Wolf's career is on the line. He drafted Drake May. He didn't have the job yet, but he had the final say, and he drafted Drake May. Alex Van Pelt's first chance to really run an offense is Drake May. His career, his future, his reputation, his legacy is on the line. And Gerard Mayo has admitted he doesn't know everything there is to know about offense and quarterbacks and the way to play the position.
Right.
This should have been a wee decision, but for some reason, someone last minute convinced him, or he thought better to say it was my decision. It was not. This stinks.
Yeah, it does stink. And you even got a little bit of it yesterday. Yesterday when he said, I made the decision to start Jacoby Brissett.
All reporters should have been like, what was that?
Right there.
What's in this room? Perillo,
absolutely.
Is that you? Put some deodorant on. Jeez, Girardi, you smell.
Gerard Mayo not passing the sniff test.
Nope,
what else
stinks.
We got?
Now we got another coach here early in a football season who you may like, who played a primetime game on mm-hmm. Thursday night.
Ah, I see what you did there.
I want to hear what he has to say, and then again, blow your nose if you need to, because I need a good, fresh sniff.
Shador is such a good kid. Sometimes it cost him, because at the end of the game, we just want to run the ball. Let's get out of here. And he took a shot, you know, to LaJonte, because he wanted LaJonte to have a big play. Because you got the other two guys, the dogs, having a big play, and he know he's going to have a one-on-one matchup. He just didn't put it out there far enough. But that's his character. I'm like, dog, come on, dog. Yeah, not right now. You know, it's not time to be the good guy right now. It's time to let's put this game away. Sure. But that's what that was.
So we checked into it?
He wanted what he wanted.
The hell are we talking about, Dion? Give you the situation. Your Colorado Buffaloes mm-hmm. are leading North Dakota State late. They just want to run the clock out, go home. And Shedeur Sanders throws the ball deep, which,
yep.
as we all know, stops the clock,
yes.
opens the opportunity for North Dakota State to get the ball back and actually have a chance to win the game.
Would've been a miracle. He wanted what he wanted.
He wanted what he wanted. He has a coach, right? He does have a coach. They call plays. So did he check out of it? Great follow-up question. That guy's sniffer was like, Dion, what's that smell? What are you selling to me right now in this press conference? I don't want you to kick me out. I hope this isn't too hard of a question and you ban me from future press conferences. But, Dion, this smells funny. I don't know exactly what happened.
This came right after a penalty, too, by the way.
Yeah.
He had thrown to Webster, and there was a pass interference penalty. There was a minute 40 left in the game, and they could have just run the clock out right then, which they did. They ran two plays. North Dakota State called timeouts on both of them on third and 10. First and 10, he bombed one out to Webster again, which then gave him the opportunity to get the ball back.
Because he's such a good human being.
Right. He really just
wants to help his buddy. And because your guy, Horn Jr., Jimmy Horn,
who was
and
awesome.
Travis Hunter mm-hmm. had a big game, so this other kid didn't get his. So instead of trying to win the game, a quarterback who supposedly, Dion wants me to believe, could be the number one overall pick, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A quarterback that's going to be the centerpiece of a franchise, he's such a good guy. He wanted to get his friend a touch.
Right.
Do I want that guy on my team? First of all, I don't buy it. This smells way more rotten than Gerard Mayo. This is the stankiest stanks of stanks. It stinks.
So
it
why'd he do it then?
I have no idea.
I think
don't
that's
tell
exactly
me
why he did
Shador Sanders is such a good kid.
Oh, not because he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I think that he's just thought out.
Dad
whatever.
Telling
it's
me he's such a good kid.
North Dakota State.
Not kid, you know he's just such a good kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was the other one who beat the hell out of the guy and was in the court. No, he's the bad kid. This is the good kid. Shador cares about everyone, loves everyone. Although we've all heard stories that he might not be the best kid.
Do you know about the Lil Wayne concert? Do you know about this? So that's Lil John.
Yeah, close enough.
Lil Wayne had a show in Boulder, and Shador was like the opening act. He like opened up the concert for him, and I think it was in Boulder. Might have been in Denver, but it was in Colorado somewhere. And Dion made the whole team go to the concert.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, no, no. He treats his kids differently.
I have to listen to this guy rap now. Like, I have to go to the show and listen to this dude rap on stage. Go see Lil Wayne, sure. But I got to get there early and to be there for Shador. Like, come on, coach. What do I have to do that for?
I feel, this? I feel like most coaches who coach their kid would go out of their way to try to show, like, no preferential treatment. He's just one of the guys, and if he's the best, he'll play. Deion never did that. He told you, I'm bringing my Gucci with me, and he's starting right away. I got my quarterback. It's the rest I got to figure out kind of stuff.
And listen, Shador is a good quarterback.
No, he is.
He had a good game.
And he would be a good quarterback whether his dad gave him the job or not.
Agreed.
He would have won the job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, so this is, again, sort of messaging and sort of the execution of things. And then he uses a post-game press conference in which his son did something really stupid, which could have cost them the game.
Yeah.
Which could have cost them their credibility.
Right away.
You lose to North Dakota State.
They lose week one to an FCS team, then yes, that is going to really sink you. And it almost did anyway. I mean, the fact that it was such a close game, a lot of people are questioning them now anyway.
And dad wants me to believe it's because his son is such a good boy. He's such the heart is just so pure, it sometimes gets him in trouble.
I think he wanted 500 yards. I think that's what it was.
It could be that, or he just wanted the final score to not look embarrassing and maybe look like we beat him more than we actually did beat him, that we weren't in a dogfight for our lives and our season. But this
wanted
quote,
to cover the spread.
Like, his dad tries to make him out like he's, you know, the second coming of Jesus. I mean, he's just for everybody. He's among us. Mm-hmm. Jesus is us, or whatever those commercials say.
There were a couple of other
stinks.
There were a couple other dumb things in that game. You remember when they went for it in like the first quarter?
Oh, well, they're not a very good team.
They ran right into the middle of that line and got stuffed, and it was like, I was like, oh my God, they're going to lose.
They're the most overrated 1-0 and coming off a 4-win season team in the history of the world. They just happen to have two of the greatest players in college football this year, potentially, on their roster, which makes it weird. How do you have two of the greatest players in college football and you're not that good?
Weird. I don't know.
It is weird. But we'll that is Sniff Test. I think it was a good inaugural addition.
I like it. I think it's a good little bit that can grow.
Both. Well, thank you. Because you are, you know, part of the morning show. You guys got a lot of bits and things and developed over the years.
Yes.
And I like that you got the Jackson stamp of approval on Sniff Test, even though he's never actually done a Sniff Test in his life. So all food is the same thing. It's not just milk. When you like go in the fridge, like sandwich meat that you're like, that's been in there 12 days. You gotta trust
what, do you lick it? Those little things, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes. But I'm a stickler for expiration dates, really.
Oh, so you just go by the
good thing
pretty
to be,
much
the
yeah.
book.
Yeah, I gotta you know, cover my back there.
You're just a sheep, man, following along with the expiration dates, man.
Yeah.
Think
that's also
yourself.
Costly.
Think outside the box, man.
That's costly because I definitely push the envelope.
Well, this is why I'm really elated that I got a lady to agree to marry me.
What if you found out she stunk?
That would be a shame.
Like, what if your friends don't want to tell you, but when, like, she's around, it's like, oh, my God.
And then,
oh, my God.
I mean,
she's
that is
perfect,
a
perfect woman for him.
Yeah, well, that's true. It is a fear that is in the head. But my friends are pretty honest.
And they'd be like,
they'd tell you.
And plus, she's a lawyer, so you can't be a lawyer if you're stinky.
Were you going to say rich?
No. I was
you can't
say,
be rich and stinky.
I know. I always get mixed up between attorney and lawyer. I don't know why.
Is there a difference?
Same thing?
No, there isn't.
Right?
I want to say one of them, and then I think of the other one, and then I get jumbled. This is what happens.
That happens.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.